Our favorite topic, let's moving on to item seven. Consider and take possible action to adopt the December 31, 2024 valuation report and contribution rates for the period July 1, 2026 through June 30, 2027. Good morning.
Good morning. Red is on, right?
Red is on. I know, it's counterintuitive, but...
I heard favorite topic, so I'm already happy about the morning. So Todd Tauzer with Siegel, joined by my colleague Eva Yum. We're pleased to present the actuarial valuation as of the end of the last year. If we can bring it up, we'll be going through parts of this valuation. Of course, it's over 150 pages long, so we will make it a more of a simplified and concise process as we go along. But we will be highlighting some of the most important pieces for the board's consideration. We'll be happy to take any questions, but we'll keep this short and sweet. It was a pretty standard valuation by way of how these things go. So to start, I just want to remind the board that at the beginning of the valuation, there's a really nice section. It's called Valuation Highlights. It starts on page 7. I'll flip to that for a minute. And this is where, just over 3 or 4 pages, you can get all of the major information from throughout this valuation. Of course, it gives you pages where you can go to those pages and get more details, more information, but Valuation Highlights gives a very high overview of what's gone on for the plan in the last year. So I highly recommend that. And in particular, there's been two things to note before we dive into the valuation. The first is we had an experience study last year. So this is the first valuation to incorporate that new experience study. That experience study was a solid experience study. It actually didn't raise costs, it lowered them just a little bit. And so that's incorporated in this valuation. You'll see that as we go through it. The second thing to note before we dive in is we did have a merger of sorts. We had the Rodeo Hercules Fire Protection District and the Contra Costa County Fire Protection District joined together, and that's in this valuation now for the first time as well. And so we did the analysis separately, but I'm just mentioning that now within this valuation that is concluded and it's within this report. So those are the high level things going into the valuation. As we go through, I'm really going to cover 4 sections. Each one will be pretty brief, but just as a frame of reference for your mind as we go through. The first will be, where are we as a plan? What's our funded position? How has that changed from last year to this year? The second will be dealing with unfunded liability. What was our plan experience in the last year? Our gains and losses across different categories, what happened there? The third will be, how did all of that affect contribution rates? So looking at the contribution rate side of things for our employers and for our members. And then the fourth will be looking at future expectations. What's happening with asset smoothing? Do we have deferred gains and losses and that kind of thing? So those are really the 4 buckets that we'll be covering today. And as I mentioned, if you have any questions, just let me know. Happy to cover them as we go along. But with that, we'll jump right in. And the first section, and even here in the valuation highlights, you'll see it follows a very similar theme. Start with funding measures, go into actuarial experience, et cetera. So the first thing we're going to cover is the funded ratio. And I'm going to flip forward to page 45. Let's see how well I can do this with the clicker. And you can just see a graphical representation of our funded ratio over time. This is both on a market value basis and on that actuarial value basis, that smooth value of assets that we do. And in the last couple of years, you can see 2022, 23, and 24, the green bar was lower than those red diamonds, meaning we had deferred losses. Our market value was lower than our actuarial value. So we had some headwinds coming into funding as we had to make up those deferred investment losses. And we have basically done so, or we've made up most of them. So you can see in 2023, the lines got closer together. In 2024, they're almost on top of each other. So we have less deferred losses in the past. That's a good thing. That helps for funding in the future. But we had to deal with those deferred losses as we went along, including in this valuation. So you'll see that as we look in more details in the unfunded liability side of things. So the long story short here is our funded ratio on an actuarial value basis has remained the same as it was last year. I believe that was at, 91.0, if I'm remembering correctly?
91.0,
yes. So exact same actuarial value funded ratio between last year and this year. And that's a combination of a couple different things that we'll look at going forward. That's the whole first section, funded ratio. Any questions on that?
Okay. I don't see any. It just, because someone should probably ask, How does this ratio compare to other similarly situated public funds?
Yeah, very fair question. The average funded ratio of the plans across the country right now is just about 80%. So we are higher. The average ratio in California, if you're looking at more comparable peers in California, is higher than the national average. It's probably about 85%, but we're still higher than that. So we're doing well as a fund.
All right, thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to flip now to page 30. And it is nice to look at the actual report because it gives you an idea of some of the exhibits, some of the things you can look through on your own. And so hopefully this helps in the familiarity of the actual report. So page 30 is looking at plan experience from last year to this year. We start at the top. Before we get into actual experience, we start with what we expected to happen. If everything matched our assumptions perfectly, which it has never, ever done. But that's what we start with, the expectations. So beginning of the year, December 31st, 2023, we had about $1.1 billion in unfunded liability. You see that line one right there. And then we had costs throughout the year. We had normal costs, which is all our members earning their next year of service. You can see that about $300 million. We had some administration expenses on line three. Line five, we had interest on the unfunded liability. That was about $70 million. But then we had contributions coming in to cover all of these costs. And that's line four, expected employer and member contributions. That's the $470 million. And that fully covered all our costs during the year and some principal of the unfunded liability. So the expectation, if all our assumptions were met, was to go from that $1.1 billion in unfunded liability down to about 1.0 or 1.03. And that's the line six. That's the expected unfunded liability as of the end of the year. But we can't stop there. Then we have to look at, okay, what actually happened to our plan during the year? So that's line seven, all of these letters under line seven. And so we go there now, the investment return was lower than expected, not on a market value basis. We beat our assumption on a market value basis. It was over 8%, our actual investment return last year. However, because we had deferred losses, as I mentioned, we had to work through some of those deferred losses, and that brought down our investment return for the year. So on a smooth value basis, we had about $150 million on investment losses. That's line 7A. Line 7B, so we had more payroll growth than expected over the last year. We had more salary increases, more payroll growth, and that will affect a couple of these lines. For B, that resulted in receiving more contributions than expected. So that you can see in B, but on line C here, 7C, we also, because we had more salaries than expected, that leads to higher benefit levels than expected. That leads to a loss because we just have more accrued liability for our members based on those salary increases. So you can see some offsetting features of B and C here. One nice thing is on 7D, the past few years we've seen some high COLA spikes related to the inflation that we saw post-COVID. That's finally settled down. This year we actually have a small gain related to COLA expectations. So that's the $12 million gain. And E is just a bucket term for a bunch of other things going on in the valuation. And then we also finally, in F, we had an experience study. And that experience study remeasured our liabilities and actually measured them slightly lower. So we had an unfunded liability decrease due to our experience study. But all things put together, between especially that investment loss after smoothing up on 7A and the salary increases that increased liability, we had a net loss for the year on experience, that $137 million. So when you add that into the expectations up at the top of the page, you end up actually with a higher unfunded liability than we started with at the beginning. The beginning was that $1.11 billion. The end is $1.17 billion. So a slight increase in unfunded liability in total based on all of those factors. That was a mouthful. I'll pause again to see if there are any questions, or I'll just keep moving along.
I don't see any questions.
Okay, that's section two, right? We talked about funded status, we talked about unfunded liability. The next is, how are we gonna deal with contributions, or how does that unfunded liability experience flow through to contributions? So we'll just forward a few pages. And here's the contribution experience on 33. So starting with high level, last year, this is the aggregate contribution rate. We have a whole contribution rate packet that delineates this out by employer and by rate group and all of that. But here, just in aggregate, line one was the aggregate contribution rate last year, and that was 28.52%. Before going through the changes, you look at line three at the bottom, you can see that the aggregate goes down to 28.02%. So it goes down 50 basis points, 0.5%. So you may ask, how did our unfunded liability go up, but our contribution rate go down? That's what we're going to talk about on this page. And going through the line items, a lot of them are similar to the unfunded liability experience. For example, in 2A, you have an investment loss. That's going to cause your contribution rate to go up. You can see that almost 1% of pay. Similarly, with line C, if you have salary increases, that's going to cause a loss, and that's going to increase pay. The big difference here is line 2D. You don't see line 2D on the unfunded side. This is the fact that because our salaries grew, we now have a larger population, and now a larger active population base. So when we're dealing with an unfunded liability dollar amount and we're turning into a percentage of pay, which means we're dividing by payroll, when we expand that payroll, we're now dividing by a bigger denominator, and that allows the contribution rate to go down. So that's what the unique part of what's going on here in 2D is. We're amortizing the prior year's unfunded liability over a larger than expected payroll base. That allows us to reduce contributions. So that's 75 basis points here that reduces the contributions. And the other big decrease is 2H, which is the change in actuarial assumptions, which allowed us to decrease contribution rates by over 0.5% as well. So on the net overall, we do have a decrease of 50 basis points, even though we had net investment losses, and that's primarily due to the larger payroll base that we get to amortize our unfunded liabilities over. Moving on the next page, this is the member contribution rates. And again, this is aggregate member contribution rates. Started out last year at 12.13% of pay. We did have some shift in demographics. Generally, usually what that means when we see a decrease is that our average entry age has moved down a little bit, because that just means we have more time to fund the contributions going into the benefits before they actually retire. So here you can see a small decrease. The total change is 9 basis points. So the member contribution rate for the next year is recommended at 12.04 in aggregate.
And for these aggregate and member contribution rate, it also reflect the movement of the population going from like more legacy member towards more PEPR members, which has in general slightly less rich benefit and therefore a different normal cost.
All right, thank you, Eva. So the final part of the presentation is looking out at the future. We'll examine what happens specifically on the asset side of things, because as you recall, we had a market value asset gain of over 8%, or investment return, I should say, of over 8%, which is a bit more than our assumption of 6.75. But after working through some of our deferred losses in aggregate on a smooth value basis, we had a market loss. And so let's look at that real quick. This is page 23. I'm gonna flip there. Okay, a lot of numbers on this page. We're definitely not going through them all, but the basic idea is you do asset smoothing over a 5-year period, but it's really a 10 periods of 6 months each. So in aggregate, it ends up being 5 years, but it's 10 6-month periods. And so you can see 2A through K is looking at all that experience over the last 10 6-month periods and how we're recognizing them. So let's just look at one to get an idea. If we look at 2J, 2J is the first 6 months of this valuation, this last fiscal year. Our expected return based on our assumption was about $358 million. However, the actual return was better. It was about $556 million. So we had an investment gain of almost $200 million. And then we get to recognize that over time, not all at once. That's what your asset smoothing does. We recognize these things over time. And so we're just recognizing the first 20% of that in the first year. So we have a deferred amount that's left over we get to recognize in future years, helps us out in future years of $158 million. But when you look at all of these and put them together, we have more deferred losses than gains still. So that's that 212, that's 2I, the very last line, $212 million of deferred losses. Last valuation, we had over $500 million of deferred losses. So it was much more significant last year. But not only did we recognize some of that, but we had a better return in the last year. So those things put together helped move those deferred losses towards a better place. So now we're at the $200 million mark. And you can see, if you go down to the bottom of the page, it's a little bit small, but there's a footnote and shows, assuming there's no future investment gains or losses, this is how the asset smoothing would play out. We'd have a deferred loss of almost 100 million in year one, that's the 93.7, almost 200 million in year two, and then we start seeing some gains of 37 million on C, 37 million in D, those are years three and four out there. So we start seeing gains, but we're still working through some losses at this time that we have to fully recognize as we go through the process. So that's the asset smoothing in a nutshell. You can really get into the weeds on this page if you want to, but I'm assuming you don't want to here. So just giving you a high level overview, hopefully giving you the ammunition. So if you want to look in greater detail, you have the ability to do so. If we did recognize all of these investment losses immediately, our fund status would drop a couple percent. It'd be about 89% instead of 91%. So that just gives you an idea. But of course, we do this asset smoothing for a purpose. Other plans do the same thing. We allow gains, ups and downs in the economic cycle to help offset one another. So it is an important thing that we're very happy that is part of the funding process here. Now, the last thing I want to cover in this valuation on a forward-looking basis is towards the end, well, there's still a lot of pages after this, but at page 103, so I think of it as towards the end of the valuation, we do show a rollout of the amortization layers of the unfunded liability. So this is taking all the current unfunded liability. Recall for most of your plan experience, we amortize that over 18 years, gains and losses. And so we've been doing this for a long time, and we're in positive amortization territory, which means we're paying down principal on the unfunded liability every year. And we're showing how those layers play out in the future here. So everything above zero has caused unfunded liability. Below zero has helped to reduce unfunded liability. And we color code this by source. So you have your gains and losses in green, and then your assumption changes are in blue. Assumption changes primarily have increased unfunded liability. Even the gains and losses have primarily increased unfunded liability over time. And you can see as we continue to pay off, we set contributions to pay down these layers, you can see how the balance is projected to decrease over time. So that net balance is that dark line that you see towards the top of the page and how that plays out over time as we continue to work towards paying off the unfunded liability. If I switch to the next page, you can see the payments. These are the actual payments to pay off those very balances I just talked about. And what's interesting is you have a couple years, 2024, 2025, where the payments continue to go up. But then you have a few years of significant decline in payments. You can see that kind of roller coaster swoosh going down. And then it stabilizes thereafter. And that's because we have unfunded liability layers, that are almost completely paid off. Just got a couple years left on them at this point in time. When those layers are paid off, they're eliminated from the schedule. And then the contribution rate attached to those particular layers just goes away. And that's why we see this decline in 26, 27, 28, as we eliminate some of these big layers. So there's big changes ahead in terms of the total unfunded liability contribution rate that we're dealing with. Some plans, when we reach this point, they just say, all right, the employer has earned it. They've been paying this for a long time. They've paid off these layers, and now the decreases just come down. That's perfectly acceptable. Other plans have said, let's take more of a risk mitigation approach. And because the decline is so strong, let's take that in more steps. They've introduced a glide path where they come down in a measured fashion over time. And that way, if there are unfunded liability losses in the future, that glide path can continue and create a more stable decrease in contributions instead of all in 1 or 2 years. So there is opportunity to talk about that. We're not trying to present or propose that today, but I did want to mention that to the board. There's an opportunity to have a discussion around what could be done with such a steep decline in a couple of years, and how can you possibly mitigate some contribution rate volatility in the future while stabilizing a strong funding position. So that may be an opportunity for the future, but just wanted to mention it here with the picture in front of us. But with that actually concludes all of that I wanted to present on today as far as the actuarial evaluation is concerned. I'd be happy to take any further questions.
This is a quiet group today. I should tell you that I think to a person on this dais, we are all pupils of Paul Angelo. I know that in 2013, when I was appointed and went to my first conference, sort of an introductory conference for trustees, Paul spoke at that, and over the course of the next 12 years, I guess. He presented often in these chambers. And so the good news is there's a lot of groundwork that has been done in terms of understanding the methods, the methodologies. And so that's why I think you see a relatively quiet group. We're accustomed to this, and none of us, believe me, are experts in this by any stretch, but we are familiar with it and have a basic understanding of it to understand what it is we're doing. And my sense is that on the go forward, we will want to have a discussion about the smoothing efforts with respect to the volatility you alluded to. I'm thinking basically from the employer and employee standpoint, I think that would be beneficial to have that. It's probably premature at this point, timing wise, but I'm sensing that on the go forward, we'll want to have that discussion. Could be wrong, but I think that's the general gist.
If I could add, yes. And I agree, we don't need to discuss it today, but because there is turnover on this board over time, I think even annually, having a little discussion about this, the importance for this current board really has been smoothing and at no point getting to a vacation, contribution vacation, because we understand the volatility of the market and how in the past, when we implemented 3% at 50, how that just made such a hit on our unfunded liability. And I think it's important that this board sort of reaffirm annually sort of the policy we take toward this, because I think we will get a certain amount of pressure from either employee groups or employers to say, well, look at this, 2042, everything's going to be good. You should be reducing our contributions already in anticipation of that. And so I think it's helpful and healthy to have that discussion because, 20 years from now, 15 years from now, a lot of us are not going to be still sitting out here, and we want to make sure that future boards understand sort of the policy we have taken in the past.
It's an excellent point. And so I think to that, we can work collaboratively here and figure out a timing to schedule that, but it's a great idea. Any other thoughts or comments? Not seeing any, so thank you.
Okay. Look at that. That concludes our presentation.
Thank Painless. No, it's good. Thank you. Very helpful.
And I will just add, even though we've had Paul's wisdom all these years, you did present it in a very simple way that anyone listening, anyone in the audience who wasn't familiar with all of the nuances could follow very well as to our asset smoothing, as to our past, our future. So thank you.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
Agreed.
Thank you.
So our work is not done yet. We have an item before us, which is to consider and take possible action to adopt the December 31, 2024 valuation report and our contribution rates for the period July 1, 26 through June 30, 2027. Further discussion, motion?
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second to adopt the valuation report and the contribution rates. Any further discussion or thoughts on the item? Not seeing or hearing any, so let's vote on the motion. Anderson.
Aye.
Gordon.
Aye.
Kroll.
Aye.
McDonald.
Aye.
Mirzwa.
Aye.
Phillips.
Aye.
Wong.
Aye.
Finley.
Aye.
And Kwan.
Aye.
All right, that motion carries 9-0.